Hey everyone, and welcome to the Darcy Made Me Do It podcast. This is episode one, and I'm so excited. Today I'm feeling a little bit under the weather, so you're gonna have to excuse the raspiness, and I am recording this in bed, so bear with me through this all. So today I want to start with reviewing the How to Date a Douchebag series by Sarah Nye. Originally, I thought I was new to this series and to this author, but it turns out that I've actually read a book from her before called Jock Row. And funny enough, this particular book is actually supposed to be after the series. It actually mentions, I believe in the third book, it mentions one of Jock Row's main characters makes an appearance in that book. And when I saw that, I was very pleasantly surprised. And that was a really great book. And so I think I'll review that maybe next episode as a little extra tidbit. It was a great book. I highly recommend it. And there's so much to go over with that particular book. So many issues that book tackles. So let's just jump right into the first one. So the first book in this series is called The Studying Hours, and that is with Sebastian Osborne, also known as Oz, and that's how he's commonly referred to in the book, and Jameson Clark. This is the first book in the series, but I actually read the series out of order. I actually read I believe it was The Failing Hours, which is the second book in the series, first. And I loved it so much that I decided to read the second. Now, I will say that when I'm scrolling through Amazon to find which books I want to read, that's my typical way of finding the content that I'd like to read, is going through Amazon. So when I saw the cover art for these books, they reminded me of like a Gossip Girl type look, or maybe like a young adult type look. And it, initially it kind of turned me off, for lack of better words. I don't know. I mean, visually, when you see a book for the first time, you kind of have that instant, I like it or I don't. And maybe this is with everyone, maybe this is particularly with me, but I did not like the cover art. And so I skipped over these books multiple times. They just did not look appealing to me. And so finally I was kind of, in a drought a little bit of finding really good books to read, in the romance genre. So I was like, you know what, I'll try it. And again, like I said earlier, later on, I found out that I'd actually read a book by this author, Jock Row. But anyway, so started the series, started it with the second book, then read the first, then read the third, then read the fourth. So the first book is about Oz and Jameson. And I'll just go ahead and read you the description because that can explain it better than I can. So let me get it. I'm pulling it up here on my phone for you guys. Okay, so it's called The Studying Hours. And it's a little confusing because the way it's formatted on Amazon, it's not seen as a series. And it doesn't list the other books in a series format on the page. So you just kind of have to find it on your own. The book has a total of 360 pages. And I read this on Kindle, and I'm almost positive. Let me double check. You can also buy it, in paperback. So that's kind of cool. I don't know if many people read, paperback anymore. I've really been into the Kindle just because it's so much easier.
Deal with. So I'll just go ahead and read the description. Crude, arrogant, a-hole. So
Sebastian Oz Osborne is a walking, talking cliche, one of the university's most celebrated student athletes, and possibly the biggest douchebag. Oz has a filthy mouth, a fantastic, fantastic body, and doesn't give a shit about what you or anyone else thinks. He loves to have fun, but loves winning even more. Okay, so that's his little description. So let me go on to hers. Smart, classy, conservative. Jameson Clark may be the university's most diligent student, but she is no prude. She spends most of her time in the hallowed halls of the library, not because she's a brainiac, but because she's not. School doesn't come easy, and she's determined to finish the year without a D. D stands for douchebag. Oz is a champion wrestler, one of the best, and he didn't fight his way to the top by backing down from a challenge. He wants to be friends with Jameson. He wants to spend time with her. He wants to drive her crazy. He wants her. Every douchebag has his weakness. So that's the description given on Amazon. And, I don't think it's the best description. One thing that I can say about this book is that it has a lot of stereotypes, as do a lot of these kind of, I've noticed that, especially with contemporary, it has a lot of stereotypes, especially sports, focused romance novels. And, the book was really interesting to me because it focused, the whole series focuses on these heroes or book boyfriends or whatever you want to call them. I call them just heroes, I guess. The heroes are all wrestlers, and that's not a genre, or I'm sorry, that's not a sport that is recognized a lot. It doesn't seem to be a very popular sport in most sports romance. It's usually focused on football, baseball, soccer, sometimes soccer. And what else? I read one that was about ice skating, and that was unexpected, which that'll be in the next episode. But this first book, I'm not going to give you a whole bunch of spoilers because I think it's something that you need to read for yourself and decide. Again, when listening to these sort of podcasts or reading reviews of any kind, you need to keep in mind that this person who's reviewing it, such as myself, has life experiences and thoughts that are shaping this review. So just because I may not like it does not mean that you won't love it, that 80 other people will, you know, adore it. It's just my opinion. And I feel that I am more, I lean more towards historical romance, specifically Regency or like medieval type romance. So like contemporary is a very new genre to me, and it's definitely has made me adjust to opening my mind a little bit more. So just keep that in mind, that just because whatever I rate it may not be your rating, and that's perfectly okay and does not mean it's a bad book at all. For this particular book, I think I would have to give it a maybe a 3 out of 5, maybe a 2.5 out of 5, just because I felt like it wasn't a super strong start to the series. And like I said before, I had read the second book first, and so I already had this great expectation, and I felt a little bit let down. And I think that was because the second book was so amazing to me that this one kind of fell flat. And I think this book is a very stereotypical sports contemporary romance in the way that the male character is pretty much the same character as every other contemporary sports romance book. He's a douche, he's an asshole, he's a player, he has similar dialogue, similar movements that are described in the book and kind of similar personality. There's not a whole lot of emotional range to him. Another thing that I noticed that in this first book, the author does not really talk about the hero's background, his family. She mentions, you know, stuff like maybe where he's from, or maybe that he has a brother, but nothing really like in depth. Like, we don't ever get to meet, like, if he has a brother, we don't get to meet him. We don't get, there's the only secondary characters are the students and the teammates around them, and then of course the roommates. But there's not a whole, you don't get to see a whole lot of depth. I feel like in this first book, I'm delirious. I don't know. Anyway, in this first book, it felt very surface, and you don't really get to learn a ton of background about Oz, specifically him. He does not have a lot of information that is given about him. We get a little bit more with Jamison Clark. I think with her character, I thought it was interesting how Sarah Nye, the author, decided to make her struggle in school. And it's usually kind of stereotypical that, like, in these, a lot of these books, these characters, especially the girls, the women, are able to have great grades, be, you know, pursuing something like law, and have these social lives, or don't have these social lives. But usually it's focused around these individuals being intelligent, which is a great thing. That's such an amazing thing to read and to connect to. But this first book fell kind of flat for me. But I think it's something that if you're looking for a light read, something to not get too emotionally invested in, I think it's a great, great for that. One thing I'm surprised though is that this particular book was, I would consider a slow burn, because there was no physical activity until pretty late in the book, considering how sexual Oz is and how many sexual innuendos and non-innuendos he makes. He likes to talk about sex a lot, and that's a recurring theme with these books. But again, these are college-aged men, so I think that's pretty normal. I think I would stick with the solid 3 out of 5. I think it's something that you need to read for yourself, give it a shot, and people like what they like. So if you are into that sort of thing and in that slow burn with the sports, with the typical douchebag guy, I think it would be a great read for you. So moving on to The Failing Hours. So The Failing Hours was the second book in the series. It was by far my favorite. It was the first book I read, and I thought about this book even after I read it. I was really, really sad that it ended. I did not want it to end. So The Failing Hours centers on Zeke Daniels and Violet DeLuca. I actually didn't know her last name was DeLuca until I read the description back when after I had been finished reading it. It doesn't mention really anything about her background either. We don't really get to know a lot about her. And the only thing that we find out about Zeke is that his parents basically were very neglectful, even though they had, you know, wealth and money, and they were basically, they were neglectful of him. He never saw them. They put him off on people. And that's the reason he's such a, you know, asshole to everyone and has such a chip on his shoulder. But it doesn't, like, we don't get to meet his parents. We don't get to meet her parents. Not a whole lot of depth at first. But one thing I really liked about this book was that it centered around a hero who was really, really an asshole, a true sense of the word. A lot of, you know, descriptions and books throw around this asshole word and persona that a lot of the time the characters they have in their books, they're not truly assholes, or they're not truly douchebags, at least in my opinion. To me, an asshole is someone who is rude, and I feel like a douchebag is kind of between a jerk and an asshole. I know that probably does not make sense, but I hope that is kind of coming across how I'm hoping it does. But he really was an asshole. He really was mean to people, and so yeah, he's just not a super, you know, nice, kind hero in this story, starting out at least. And Violet, I really, really enjoyed. She was very shy, but she had evident flaws, as they are known as the book, such as her stutter. And I don't believe that's mentioned in the description of the book, but it's something that is definitely a huge topic in this book. I'm sorry, and not a huge topic in this book. I take that back, because now that I think about it, they really don't. People know she has it, and she knows that she has it, and we witness it, but no one really makes fun of her for it, which I thought was strangely endearing. I thought the fact that she had something that was, I'm sorry, so relatable, like a speech impediment, really made her character special to me. I connected with that. So this book was amazing. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, sorry, I have a lot of thoughts going on with this book. I really, really enjoyed it. The Failing Hours, Zeke starts off as a really, really mean guy. Really rude. I wish people in the book would have given him a bigger ass kicking, because he really deserved it at times. He was really just nasty. I wanted someone to just beat him up, you know? But as he falls in love with Violet, she kind of makes him see that there's a world bigger than him, and it doesn't just center around him, and other people have problems and difficulties, and he deserves to have a chip on his shoulder, but it's not, like, he's not the only one that has had a shitty childhood, and I think she makes him realize that in the book, and I won't give it away. I don't believe that this book being more of a slow burn hindered it in any way. So I would definitely give this particular book, The Failing Hours, a 6 out of 5. I really liked it. It was great writing, great plot, side characters. Something that was really interesting in this book that I didn't find in any of the other books was it had more side characters. So in the book, it had a young girl who Violet babysat, and a young boy who Zeke was, I forgot what it was called. Is it Big Brother? It's like that kind of Big Brother program. And in the book, you'll find out if you read it that he becomes a Big Brother, not of his own choosing. He's forced to do it by the wrestling coach. And so the little that he gets, that's what it's called, his little. He's a big, and he is a little. His little is a really cute little boy who has, you know, a single mom, and their life is not the easiest. So I think that kind of makes him shape up as well. You know, having that real life in person, you know, view of someone else's life who has it really rough. So that was something that I really, really enjoyed in that book that I didn't find in any of the others in this series, was that the side characters, I think, had more depth. The characters had more depth. And overall had a really great, lots of sexual chemistry and, what's the word for it? I'm trying to think of the word that is used. Anyway, can't remember. Anyway, it was a great book. I would highly recommend this. If you're going to read any of the books in the series, please read this one. You will not regret it. And if you do, I will allow you to virtually punch me in the face. So that is your, that is your initiative. Okay, so moving on to the third book in the series, The Learning Hours, Rhett and Laurel. This one was great too. This one was in stiff competition with Zeke and Violet. So something that I really liked about this book was Rhett was not the typical hunky guy. In the book, they describe the author does not describe him as ugly, but it sounds like he's just kind of a plain guy. He's not ugly, he's just plain. And if you're around all these hunks, of course you're going to be plain if you don't look like them. So that was one thing in the book that was a recurring thing, was that he wasn't the most attractive, and Laurel is gorgeous and beautiful and really popular, and he's new to the school, but he's an amazing wrestler, and they actually recruited him. And if anyone knows anything about wrestling, that's a huge deal. I was actually a stat girl, which is someone who keeps score for the wrestlers. I did it in middle school and through high school. And so the sport of wrestling is such an amazing sport that is definitely goes unrecognized. When most people think of wrestling, they think of, you know, bullshit wrestling like WWE. That's not real wrestling. This is original Olympic style wrestling that takes tons of technique and strength, and it's an amazing sport. So he was an amazing wrestler, as are most of the characters in this series, and his story with Laurel I thought was really sweet. It was interesting because most of the time in romance novels, and with the two earlier books, the men were the pursuers, if you will. They're definitely more assertive and definitely the leading character. They kind of chose the way that the romance kind of played out a little bit. Whereas Rhett really kind of allowed Laurel to take the lead in the story. And she was definitely the more assertive one. And at times was really, you know, frustrated with Rhett for not being as assertive. But I think it was amazing that the author decided to make him a little bit more, not sensitive, but I think realistic. I think it was definitely it was refreshing to have this kind of outlook. And the description that is given on Amazon, I don't think does it justice. And I think it's, looking on the surface of this book, like if I just, you know, came across it and read the description, which I did before, I would not have read it. I think the description does not do it justice, and it actually kind of discourages it for some readers. But I'm so glad I gave it a try, and I really, really, really enjoyed this book. I cannot say enough great things about it. Slow burn like the others, but these are definitely characters that, especially with Rhett, like I just loved him. He was so cool. I just I remember thinking towards the end of the book, thinking to myself, I'm gonna name my kid Rhett. What was his name? Rhett Rabideau. Rabideau? It's French. It's something like that. You'll see it in the book. But I thought that's such a cute name, and his little Louisiana accent. I just loved it. So, moving on to the fourth book of the series. So, this is about Elliot and Annabelle. Elliot is, I have to think, because I don't want to get this wrong, but I believe he was Oz and Zeke's roommate. And Elliot is actually featured in the first book. In the first book, Oz has, and this is during the period where he's kind of fighting that attraction with her and fighting that he is in love with her. Oz has a dream that Elliot and Jameson are our boyfriend and girlfriend and hooking up, and in the end we find out it's a dream, and that did not happen, obviously. So we got a little bit of a teaser in the first two books about Elliot himself, but in this fourth book it's his time to shine. And this book was really interesting to me because Annabelle is the wrestling coach's daughter and she needs a place to live. So some stuff happens and she ends up rooming with Elliot and being his roommate. And things progress and it's pretty natural. I'm sorry, natural. That's probably not clear enough. Things are pretty natural between them. And so I won't disclose too much about the coaching hours. The reason it's called the coaching hours is because Annabelle's dad is the coach of the team. I thought that was a little confusing at first when I saw the title. But it is an interesting storyline, I'll tell you that. And in the end, something happens that was very unexpected. But it was a good unexpected. It was a good surprise. So I encourage you to read the last one, especially. I think it's a good wrap up. The only thing that I would say is that in the first three books, the author should have included better epilogues. I don't even know if she included them in the back. I really can't recall. I just felt like I wanted more of a final ending. Like, I want to know their future. And that's one of the things that I really don't like about, well, it's not that I don't like it, but it makes me really anxious, when these kind of romance novels that are centered around college-age students, like, I want to know, like, did they stand the test of time? Did they have children together? Did they break up after college? And, you know, like, I want to know what the fuck happened. And I felt like in the first couple books, I didn't really get that. In the last book, it mentions an engagement party between one of the previous couples. I'm not going to tell you who. But that was pretty much the only glimpse into the future that we got to see. So that was one thing that I really did not like about this series, is that I want to know more about the characters, and I hope that this author in the future will include a epilogue novella, maybe, so we can see as readers what actually ended up happening with all of these couples. They stay together. Which I'm sure they did, because, you know, this is fiction and this is a world that the author can create. So I'm hoping they did. I guess going back to the first book, The Studying Hours, definitely give it a 3 out of 5. The Failing Hours, which is the second book in the series, 6 out of 5. It was that good. Third, definitely 6 out of 5 as well. And the last one, I think, for the last book, I think I'd give it a 4 out of 5. So, I thought it had a pretty good ending. Again, it can be a challenge when the two books in the middle are the best. And the first or the last ones just don't hold up to those. But what I want to leave this podcast, because I know I'm going to wrap it up. My cat is getting very impatient with me. One thing I want to say about this series is that you do not have to read them in order. And I actually encourage you not to, because I feel that the second and third book were the best. And if you're someone like me who, you know, I work and I'm a full-time student and I have a St. Bernard puppy who I'm trying to potty train, there's not a whole lot of time for me to read books that are just not interesting to me. So it works as a series, but you do not have to read it as one. And this author, after I got done with the series, I looked back and that's when I saw that I'd read her before. She has a lot of books coming out and I'm definitely looking forward to reading those. I will definitely be reading those in the future, keeping an eye out. I think she is a great author. One thing I have to say is that the punctuality is when you're on time, right? Anyway, spelling, everything was really great. The formatting, editing was great. Her publisher, I'm not sure who it is, or editor, did a really great job. And the books are all available on Kindle Unlimited. Kindle Unlimited is a great service for someone who reads a lot of books, just because it can definitely add up when you're buying, you know, $6 books every 2 days. That can definitely add up. So if you want to keep your pocketbook heavy with money, maybe think about investing in Kindle Unlimited, where you can have a lot of books from up-and-coming authors as well as well-established authors. So I want to thank you guys for sticking with me for this whole episode. I know it's a little bit of rough, a lot of a lot of pauses, a lot of mistakes, but that's okay. This is the first episode and we're all learning together. So again, I want to thank you so much. I decided to do this podcast because I am passionate about reading and it's something that I've always been good at. I used to take a lot of pride in grade school when I was told by my teacher that I was a very fast reader. I took a lot of pride in that, and that kind of is what started my love of books. And the romance genre is one that has we're such a huge community, and we have little sub-communities, you know, with people who just read paranormal or just read contemporary. There's a whole, you know, subcategory of Christian or clean romances that I've also read before. And one thing that I have noticed is that it's such a close-knit community. And a very accepting one. We fall in love with these characters, with these authors, with these sub-characters. Sometimes the sub-characters are the ones that you love the most. But I'm so excited to be doing this podcast. And I'm looking forward to getting better equipment. Because right now, this is just being recorded on my cell phone. So I apologize if the audio is going a little bit of in and out. Because I've had to move it around, so my hand doesn't get arthritis or, you know, anyway, you get what I'm saying. So I'm not really sure how to end this. I apologize for the rambling. What else? So I think for the next episode, we're going to talk about why I started reading romance, what other genres I read, whether romance novels are just emotional book porn, the difference between erotica and romance, which genres are my favorite, and what's my backstory, what's my history with getting involved in romance, because it's a lot. I also hope to be reviewing the Mariana Zapata. This is not a series, but she has multiple books that she's written. And some of my favorites are Culty and The Wall of Winnipeg and the newly finished From Lukov with Love. She is an amazing author, and I am so excited to be talking about her because her books are life-changing. I mean, amazing. So I'm so excited to be sharing those with you, and I'm going to end it, and don't blame me because Darcy made me do it.